Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, part of Locked On Sports Atlanta, where we are covering your favorite Atlanta sports teams each and every day. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Sports Atlanta on YouTube, as well as the Locked On Braves podcast, wherever you get your podcast. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube as well at Locked On Braves. And thanks for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And I hope you all had a great weekend and are starting off your Monday right. It was not a great weekend for the Atlanta Braves. I'll give you my best and worst of the weekend, which was a series loss to the San Diego Padres. We'll also give you our weekly minor league update, giving you the best performances from down on the farm, and we'll preview this upcoming series against the Milwaukee Brewers. But let's first start with the best and worst of the weekend for the Atlanta Braves. And my particular worst is Ronald Acuña Jr. The groin injury continues to linger for him, kept him out of the lineup all weekend. Still considered day-to-day, he had an MRI, and this was a bit of encouraging news. As Brian Snitker said, there's nothing from the MRI that showed he's going to be shut down. So that's certainly great and encouraging. And the knee hasn't been a problem, which is also great news, but still, just not having him in the lineup over the weekend certainly is not ideal. And anytime he's not in there, obviously as a fan of baseball, as a fan of the Braves, is certainly a huge bummer. Could be back in the lineup on Monday. We'll have to see. But also just a little concerning that he's obviously, you know, dealing with this groin injury, kind of to be expected, you know, as he ramps things back up. You know, hasn't played at this level, this speed, this pace for a while now. And we mentioned the game before all this happened, he had to make a lot of running catches in the outfield, probably the biggest workload he's had yet defensively this season. So a little understandable. Just hope this doesn't become a reoccurring problem with this groin injury. The other worst of the weekend, besides losing a series to the Padres at home that they definitely should have won, is the defense for the Atlanta Braves. And we talked early in the year about the outfield defense and how bad it was. It's kind of settled down a little bit with Travis DeMeritt being out there. You know, Acuña, when he's been healthy, and Adam Duvall has been great in center field all year long. But the infield defense killed the Braves this past weekend. They gave up 8 unearned runs on the weekend, coming in Saturday in Sunday's game. Luckily, it didn't cost them Saturday's game, but it did cost them Sunday's game. I mean, they lost the game on Sunday strictly because of errors. Swanson made 2 errors. Olsen made 2 errors, including a really, really bad one on Saturday. And Riley made 2 errors as well. Riley just struggling. I know he had the great game on Saturday, had the game winner, a big hit, a 3-hit day, like I said, and he finished it off with a game winner. But overall, just still struggling offensively, and it seems to be carrying over into the field as well, where he has just not been as sharp as what we saw from him in the second half of last season. Olsen as well is just, look, I'm not worried about him. He has a long track record of being great and defensively at first base. I feel like you really see that in an Atlanta Braves uniform. I know these were his first 2 errors of the year, but even the ball that Swanson got charged for an error for, you know, ball he could have picked and helped Swanson out there. So I haven't been too overly impressed with Olsen's defense. Again, a long track record there. I feel like he'll turn it around, but not a great weekend defensively for the Atlanta Braves infield. And I know Ozzy didn't have an error on the weekend, but he has had some head-scratching plays over the last week or so as well. So this infield defense, which I still believe will be one of the best infield defenses we see in all of baseball, rough go of it here as of late. But some really costly errors over the weekend. Like I said, nearly cost them Saturday's game. It did cost them Sunday's game and kept them from winning that series. My other worst of the weekend for the Braves, and you know this one's tough, but Will Smith just did not have a great weekend, and not a lot of it his fault, but just not his weekend. On Friday, he gave up a couple of hits on pitches that were about a foot off the plate to both Hosmer and Will Myers. I mean, the Will Myers hit, it was an 0-2 pitch. It's at least a foot off the plate away. It shatters Will Myers' bat, and he just bloops it through the shift on the infield, the right side, for a base hit. I mean, not bad pitches. I mean, it's just San Diego on Friday in general was just on it. I mean, they're a good team. I thought the Braves played great on Friday. You had the big hit by Dansby to come back and take the lead there. But San Diego was just on their game Friday night going up against Max Fried. You got to give them a ton of credit in that game. They put the bat on the ball, and they found some holes and came up with some big hits. So not necessarily anything Will Smith did wrong on Friday necessarily, except for the 2-0 pitch. He fell behind Kim 2-0 after giving up those weak hits to Hosmer and Myers and laid a fastball in there to Kim, who did not miss it, crushed it for the 3-run homer, which ultimately lost the game for the Braves. And then on Saturday, gave up 4 runs, all unearned because of the defense. He did give up 2 hits and a walk, so not great outings back-to-back for Will Smith, who had been great for the Braves up till that point this year. I'm not worried about him in the slightest. Like I said, Friday was just a little bit of bad luck mixed with a great swing. And then Saturday wasn't his fault at all. Should have been out of that inning, not giving up anything. So, again, I'm not worried about him. And Snit keeps using him against the bottom of the order, which I think is smart. I think AJ and Kenley are your best relievers right now, and you need to be saving them for the middle of the order. You know, whether that comes in the seventh inning, like he did, using AJ in the seventh against the middle of the order, or it comes in the eighth, whatever it may be, I think you need to use AJ there against the middle of the opposing team's order and continue to use Will Smith and McHugh and those guys against the bottom of the order. I think Snit's done a great job in managing the bullpen that way. But those are some of my worst of the weekend. Let me know what others you may have. But I thought there were also some really good things from this weekend. It's just frustrating because if it's not one thing, it's the other for the Braves. I thought the offense was really good for the most part this weekend, except for maybe Sunday's game, which we'll get into that starting. Most people weren't even out of bed yet in that game started. And I thought the starting pitching in particular, was great over the weekend. It was just the defense. Like I said, if it's not one thing, it's been another for this Braves team this year, and that's what makes it so frustrating. But one of my best of the weekend was Travis DeMeritt. Got inserted into the leadoff spot with Acuna out, and he just continued to produce as he has all year. He reached base all 5 times on Friday, going 3-for-3 with 2 walks, but he didn't score a single run, which just shows you the struggles of those guys behind him in the middle of the order. On Saturday, he picked up 2 more hits. Sunday wasn't great as he went 0-for-5 with 2 strikeouts, but nobody, again, really hit on Sunday. Offense was sluggish with the early start for both sides. He also made a great catch on Saturday, did DeMeritt. I mean, he's been amazing. He has been what this team has really needed in the outfield, a place that was a problem area for them early on in the season, and he has really picked it up there and been great for the Braves. I mentioned the starting pitching, Max Fried. You know, San Diego was just on their game Friday night. They hit him pretty hard, but it was the soft hits that really plagued him. But highly encouraging, Charlie Morton, maybe his best start of the year. 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 1 earned, and 9 strikeouts. Also, Kyle Wright bounced back from his worst outing of the year, went 6 1/3, 3 hits, 2 walks, 3 runs, just 1 of them earned in 9 strikeouts. So both of those guys were really good. Charlie Morton got off to a great start, something that I key in on with him because he's been getting out to those slow starts every time he's gone out there, but a great start for him. He had 8 strikeouts in the first 4 innings, was a little shaky in the 5th, but then found it again in the 6th at 83 pitches. I was kind of surprised he didn't go back out there. I think Snit wanted to get him out of that game, you know, having a great outing and not risk him, you know, going back out there, giving up a hit or two and maybe allowing a run to score and losing that game, which was a close one, and you had a fresh bullpen rested and ready to go. But hindsight being what it is, kind of wish Charlie would have gone back out for the seventh, and then you got AJ and Kenley for the eighth and ninth, but we can't reflect on that too much. Charlie Morton had 15 swings and misses, 8 on that curveball, telling you that curveball is really working for him. He also had 15 called strikes, so more Charlie Morton-like. And then going back to Kyle Wright, he retired 11 of the first 12 batters he faced. Again, offense was struggling for both sides in that early Sunday start, but a good bounce-back outing for Kyle Wright. And then my final best of the weekend, the clutchness gene for Dansby Swanson coming back. He had a couple of big home runs over the weekend, including that one on Friday night. I know it came and ultimately was a loss, but that home run that he hit was massive. A big three-run homer, went up and got a fastball, drove it out to dead center to give the Braves a lead. That was a big moment. I thought that was going to be a huge turning moment for this team for this season. Could have led to a sweep as they should have won the next two games as well, but still great to see Dansby Swanson coming up with those hits. He had 3 hits on the weekend, including those 2 home runs and 5 runs batted in. So good to see Dansby's power stroke coming back as well. He continues his good ways over the last 10 or 15 games. All right, next I'll give you my minor league recap for the week. Before we do that, let me tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, I want to give you our minor league recap for the week, giving you the best performances from down on the farm. But I want to hear your thoughts on how you would like me to handle these minor league updates. I don't get a lot of responses on these minor league recaps, so I want to know what your thoughts are on this segment. If you want me to keep it, you want me to change it up, you want me to focus just on the top prospects, you like the way that I do this, let me know. I know there are a lot of you out there who are really into the prospects, so I want to make sure that I continue to update you on what's going on down there, but I want to make sure I'm doing it in the best way that benefits you. So let me know your thoughts on this minor league segment, how you would like me to handle it going forward. But I'm going to continue doing it the way I have for now until I hear your suggestions. So starting out with Gwinnett, Phil Gosselin had a big week. In just 4 games, he had 7 hits, including a double and 2 home runs, along with 2 stolen bases. Pat Valleca was 8 for 20 with 2 home runs, and Braden Shoemake was also 8 for 20 with 3 doubles. Chadwick Trump cooled off a bit, but still had 3 home runs. On the pitching side, Kyle Mueller struck out 12 batters in 6 innings, but he also gave up 4 earned on 6 hits and 2 walks over 6 innings. So overall, really, really solid start for Kyle Mueller. Tucker Davidson allowed 1 earned on 4 hits over 5 innings with no walks and 6 strikeouts, so good outing for him. And Nolan Kingham was good out of the bullpen, not allowing a hit or walk over 3 2/3 innings with 5 strikeouts. For the Mississippi Braves, Jalen Miller went 9 for 20 last week with a home run and 3 doubles. CJ Alexander hit 3 bombs. On the pitching side, Victor Vodnik was great out of the bullpen, tossing 3 1/3 scoreless innings with 7 strikeouts. I think he's going to be a really big part of the bullpen here in the next year or so. And then the starting pitching was good as well. Jared Schuster tossed 6 scoreless innings, allowing just 2 hits and a walk with 4 strikeouts. Freddie Tarnock pitched 5 scoreless innings, allowing just 3 hits and 2 walks with 3 strikeouts. For the Rome Braves, Vaughn Grissom had a monster week, going 10 for 23 with a double, triple, and homer. He also walked 4 times and didn't strike out. Cody Milligan was 8 for 18 with 2 doubles and 2 triples. And like Grissom, he also walked 4 times and didn't strike out. It's just so rare to see a player go an entire week without striking out these days, so had to mention that. So good weeks for Milligan and Grissom. Also, Justin Henry Molloy collected 10 hits with 2 doubles. And the pitching for Rome, Andrew Hoffman allowed 1 earned run on 6 hits and 5 walks across 2 starts with 11 strikeouts and 10 innings pitched. And after a rough first start at high A for Roiber Salinas, he got back to his ways, striking out 10 batters in 5 innings, allowing just a hit and a walk. He did also hit a batter, so looks like the Roiber show is back. Luis Diavila tossed 6 shutout innings, allowing 4 hits and a walk with 6 strikeouts. And Dylan Dodd also tossed a gem, pitching 7 shutout innings, allowing 5 hits without walking a batter and striking out 5. And then finally, Augusta Green Jackets. Cal Conley led the team with 8 hits this past week, including a home run as well as 5 stolen bases. Geraldo Quintero had 7 hits and 2 home runs, while Mekhi Backstrom had 6 hits and 2 home runs. And then one of my favorite picks from last year's draft, A.J. Smith-Shawver, had a big week that we've kind of been waiting on him to break out. He struck out 20 batters across 2 starts and 9 2/3 innings, allowing 4 earned runs on 7 hits and 5 walks. So I think we're starting to see him show that potential we all thought he could possess, or that we could see from him. So great to see that from A.J. Smith-Shawver. And then J.J. Niekro had a great appearance out of the bullpen, tossing 5 shutout innings, allowing just a hit and a walk with 9 strikeouts. So that's your minor league recap for the week. Again, let me know, hit me up on Twitter, whether it be at @lockdown_Braves or at @shortstopball, or let me know in the comments down on YouTube, how would you like me to handle this minor league section every week, or would you like me to scrap it altogether if it's not beneficial for you as the listener? Again, I want this show to be informational for you. I'm not always as entertaining, but I want this to be informational, something that you enjoy, something that you get out of to help you with your Braves fandom. So let me know how you'd like me to handle this minor league section each week. You want me to focus on just the top prospects? You want me to keep it like I have it now? What would you like to see for this minor league weekly recap? Next, we will preview this upcoming Brewers series, where the Braves really need to get another series win. Before we do that, let me tell you about Built Bar. And summer is coming, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags and your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you are fueled for summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to built.com and order it now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means that with Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Go to Built.com, get all your favorites. They got the banana cream pie, the raspberry, double chocolate, and so many more. And for a limited time right now, they have the Puffs birthday cake right now. And they sent me over a free sample. These are really good. Me and the wife and the kids have been enjoying them. So go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, previewing the upcoming series with the Milwaukee Brewers this week, a 3-game set. The Braves won a series against the Brewers just a week and a half ago, one of their few series wins of the year. On Monday night, tonight, we're going to have Ian Anderson versus Freddy Peralta. It's been 3 earned or less for Ian Anderson, going at least 5 innings in his last 5 starts. Hopefully that trend continues, and really would love to see Ian Anderson go 6, maybe 7 innings in this one, as the bullpen is a little taxed right now. A.J. Minter and Kenley Jansen both worked the last 2 days. Kenley Jansen going 2 2/3 innings. So got to imagine those two could be unavailable on Monday. And as much as Braves fans might not like to hear it, even though I'm not worried about them right now, but this could be a game where we see Will Smith get a save opportunity. So again, hopefully Ian Anderson's able to give the Braves some length. Hopefully the offense is able to break out so the bullpen isn't really a necessity, but the bullpen could be a little thin on Monday. Freddy Peralta had a rough couple of starts to begin his season, but he's gone at least 5 innings in his last 4 starts and given up 1 earned or less in 3 of those. So he's been really good lately. Primarily fastball slider, He has been mixing in a curve and changeup about 10% of the time. He doesn't typically go deep into games, and he can have trouble with walks, but getting into that Milwaukee bullpen is not necessarily what you want either. So Brewers pitch very well, as we saw, again, just about 10 days ago. On Tuesday's game, right now it's to be determined for the Braves against Adrian Hauser. I'm thinking we're going to see Spencer Strider finally get a start, or we see another situation with a opener and then Spencer Strider. But the way it's gone lately, every time I think he's about to make a start, he gets used. So we'll probably see him in Monday's game, and then we'll figure out what happens on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday's game, we get a rematch between Max Fried and Corbin Burnes. These two matched up a couple of Saturdays ago, and the Braves won 3-2 in a great pitched game. Burnes allowed 2 runs, 1 earned on 6 hits and a walk with 7 strikeouts. I thought the Braves had some of their best at-bats of the year against Burnes in that game. They seemed really focused the entire time. Didn't get to him for a lot of runs, but I thought the at-bats were great against him. Fried gave up 1 earned run on 4 hits and a walk over 7 innings with 8 Ks in his start against the Brewers a couple Saturdays ago. So can't wait for that pitching matchup once again. Since the Braves won their series over the Brewers just a week and a half ago, the Brewers lost a series to the Reds and won a series against the Marlins. The Braves split a 2-game set with the Red Sox and lost a series to the Padres. So should be a very fun series to watch. Two really great pitching staffs between the Braves and the Brewers. So runs will come at a premium. Hopefully the Braves score just a few more and win this series. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. Subscribe to us on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And follow me on Twitter as well at @ShortstopBall. And we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.